listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, November 29th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here.
So glad to have you. So glad to have those joining us live. We always appreciate seeing you. We appreciate your contributions, and it's just a good time. And thanks to those joining us in the archives. We appreciate you taking the time out of your week. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight's topic, as so many topics are about, or about me and things that I'm going to talk about, just because I'm using you as my, free therapy. But it's that time of year. We're in smack dab in the middle of the holidays here in the Western world, and we're coming up on we had Thanksgiving in the United States. I think you Canadians do it in the month of October. Is that right, Dr. Vicki?
We do so.
So you kind of got the ball rolling a little bit earlier, but we're coming up on Christmas, and there are so many things that come together when the holidays come around, both joy and, anxiety, and you got just the doldrums and, all the feelings kind of come to play, both good and bad. So I thought, what a perfect time to talk about these kind of challenges that I think a lot of us face.
Well, but I have one big solution. If the holidays make you sad or make you feel certain things, just ignore it.
That's reminiscent of, there was a Saturday Night Live sketch with Bob Newhart as a guest, and he was playing a psychologist.
I remember.
And his therapy, you said, what exactly was it? Something like, get over it. Stop it. That's right. He would say, stop it. And then you would just, all right, our time's up.
I remember that Bob Newhart was so awesome. Look, is really.
He didn't die, really, did he?
I don't know. I have to look. Mandela effect. I don't know what's real anymore. I was going to say, this is a really serious topic. It is. Now, we're not giving any mental health advice by any stretch, because if somebody is really having issues, you know what to do. We don't need to tell you that. We're just talking in general.
Oh, yeah.
That this time of year can set off triggers, and, you would ordinarily feel pretty good about your life, and then suddenly not, and you wonder, well, what is it? And all this happiness makes you a little crazy. You're not feeling it. And I think that really that isolation is one of the number one issues for anyone when we isolate ourselves emotionally or socially. Mm-hmm. And I think we learned a lot of lessons through COVID about that. And I think people are still trying to get kind of back in the swing.
Yeah.
what's the new normal, and what kind of, you know, environment are you going to create for yourself? Now, some people have no problems at all with this.
Well,
but there are others who don't do well.
I was just going to say, when COVID came around, I didn't see my friends in person for those stretches for, you know, different lockdowns and when we had spikes. I didn't see my, you know, one of my best friends and, you know, and his daughter, who I consider like a niece or a goddaughter. And that was a little rough, but otherwise I'm kind of a, you know, lone wolf, kind of homebody introvert anyway. And so it was kind of just like another day for me. I went to my office, which was closed to the public, you know, but did my thing, went home, watched shows, played with the animals and stuff, and I had the benefit of being quarantined with my folks, so I had some people around. That did make it better.
I do think, though, what you kind of hit on something there inadvertently, Michael, is that I think when we look at all these people in this, all this joy and happiness, and then you kind of, you know, where do I fit into that? So you went and created your own happiness, and I think that that really is key. You know, and yes, you've got your parents, but yeah, you know, watch a movie, do other things that you like to do, and you kind of ride it out, you know, holiday season. And I think that's an important thing to kind of acknowledge.
I agree. But I think, I'm sorry, I was just going to say, I think it's, you know, it's also, I grew up, you know, for the first large, big old chunk of my childhood and adolescence, I was an only child. So I had friends, but I was by myself a lot. You know, if I wasn't at a friend's plan or doing something, I was by myself doing my own thing.
Yeah.
So I got very used to that very early on. I'm like my cat.
You can hear the cat. It's all right. Just before the program, mine was insistent to be on my lap tonight also. And sometimes she gets to be a real emotional hog, and so you got to acknowledge them.
So,
but I think it's true. To be really serious, people, what I would like to acknowledge is that there's a lot of pressure in the media and a lot of propaganda. I mean, Halloween was barely over, and you see the Christmas stuff already in the stores and all the windows. And if they play music before the 24th, I'm going to be mad. You know, but you know what I say. It's you're suddenly inundated with this tremendous pressure. Now, those, if you don't already know this and don't read the news or watch the news, retail sales are down everywhere. And I think it's right across North America, certainly in Canada. I know it is in the States. And retail sales are down because people aren't spending. Cost of living, and there's a reality check for all of us. But more importantly, we never had to buy all that stuff. We just feel the pressure to buy all that stuff. You know, it's like today, my daughter and her husband took possession of their new house today, and I got to go over and see it. But I took a big thing of toilet paper. That was my gift to them. Here's your housewarming present. She goes, oh, that is the best housewarming gift I've ever seen.
Worth its weight in gold.
It is. And I mean, of all the things you forget to take, it's toilet paper. And it doesn't have to be big and expensive. We have a rule this year, especially one gift each. Even the grandkids, each one gift, that's it. And we pared right down to the chagrin of my grandkids who I think don't really understand this yet. They're in their teens and have quite the shopping list for everybody to look at, you know. But what we also know is that, and we've talked about this, is that we kind of live in a privileged, you know, certain people here live in a privileged kind of environment. My grandkids want for nothing. Everybody has a roof over their head. They have food. You know, they have their phones. They have technology. So it's kind of a privileged way. There isn't, you know, everybody's got issues, but there isn't a tremendous amount of suffering.
Oh, so, that's very true. And that's, I'm sorry, you finish.
So I think that there's an expectation that we put on ourselves if we live in that kind of culture and that environment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Keeping up with the Joneses, as they say.
Yeah. We don't need to do that. And I think this is the reality check, you know, this economic climate that we're in is having us all, no, you know what? Mm-mm-mm. We don't need all that stuff. You know, it's oh, we want that stuff. Do we need that stuff? No.
Right.
And so to pare it back and not feel bad about it. It don't feel bad about it.
Well,
you're just not going to buy the $1,000 gifts or the $100 gifts or whatever it is that you do. And
I mean, I'm nerd on that.
Some people do.
Well, there's so many different aspects, and you know, we talked about this a little bit, but it's all about those expectations, the expectations yeah. that we build for ourselves, this exactly. this perceived right way of doing things, you know, and that whole keeping up with the Joneses motif is very, very well alive, you know, alive and strong. But another, you know, I had a weird life. I was an only child. I grew up in a very, you know, sparsely populated place. I also never celebrated Christmas until I was 13. You know, I never had the Christmas morning, never had those expectations, and I kind of still don't, you know. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I didn't grow up with it. You know, never in my life have I believed in Santa.
This is my point of conditioning. When people mm-hmm. are used to a certain thing, mm-hmm. and then they suddenly taken away, ooh, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And look, even if it's, let's say you had to move to a different city for a new job and your family's across the country, yeah, that, you know, by circumstance, you're not going to be around them. And there's that isolation. When you've, you know, so you've been used to something and now it's not there. See, and I think that that's a contributing factor to a melancholy kind of feeling, which is perfectly natural, perfectly normal, you know. I'm feeling a little sorry for myself today, guys. You know, my family's on the other side of the country. But we have Skype.
Yeah.
You know, we have video messenger. We have FaceTime. We yeah. have all these other ways to stay in touch with people.
I would argue without going into the extremes, because there are extremes of existence that exist in every time, and you don't want to denigrate anybody's suffering. But I would say it is arguable that for the average person, even those that are struggling financially, you could take a person who, you know, from any time period in the past, and they'd almost certainly be a peasant or somebody who was on the working class. You bring them into the future, and they would look at the lives that we have as wondrous. It would be heaven. You know, it's all of the food security, which I know is not universal, but by a larger margin than it has been for a very long time. Your family moved across the country, but you have Skype. These are wondrous things that we should appreciate, while also understanding that, you know, as a society, we want to do better, but let's appreciate what we have, too.
Well, I think last week we talked about perspective, right?
And it's gratitude and perspective. That,
absolutely. And I think this is where, I think melancholy or a sadness, all those are very natural feelings to have. And I think we all have them at times. It's a wave. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's just a wave of, aw, you know, but then it's a wave and it passes. So I think that it's a lot of it is checks and balances of where we are. The gap of middle class, like middle class is kind of evaporating. There's a huge gap between those who have and those who do not. And when people do not have, when they're going to the food banks, and there's way more people doing that, even people who own their own houses trying to get the mortgage, you know, payment covered, have to go to the food bank. And this is when they have to learn to not feel bad about that, because mm-hmm. they need food. You got to feed your kids. That's what you have to do.
And absolutely.
So we're put into positions where we have to, and I say we because we've all had a moment where you had to suck up your pride, you know, and you had to suck up that, I have to ask for help, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what, if it gets bad and you're in that kind of situation, reach out to somebody who you feel comfortable with, somebody you feel can trust, somebody you know you're not imposing on, but maybe it is, maybe not asking for cash necessarily, but just saying, hey, I even need to just talk. Can I come over for lunch? You know, like I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. And I think those are things that we can do to continue to move forward, especially through trying times. And I think it's universal for every season that people go through this and what years gone past. But this year in particular, I know that the climate's changed. like, you know, literally, everything's changed. So I think that we need to, boy, if we haven't learned in the last few years to start binding together and being there for one another, supporting each other, we're in trouble because we're going to sure learn it now.
Well, and that is something that I feel is a very, very important lesson that we need to come together. We need to realize that there is more that binds us than separates us. We have more in common than divides us, and we need each other. And if we, there's this whole vibe out there. There's always the constant strife, the constant size, the polarization. I would challenge you to not fall into that polarization, or at least try. I'm definitely guilty of it myself, but
It isn't true.
Oh, come on now. I know it's all shocking, but it is a very tough thing. But you know, one thing that can unite us in this dark time where we're kind of lonely around the holidays is the realization that Bob Newhart is indeed alive. And he is alive and well. 94.
Oh, okay, you checked it out.
Yep, so hey, you know, that's something we can remind ourselves.
Wendy was just saying in the chat, she said, I was thinking the other day that everything went downhill when people stopped sending Christmas cards. She said, getting a card in the mail always makes you smile. And you know what? I agree with you, Wendy. I don't know what postage is in the States, but I sent out a few packages on Monday.
Yeah.
And I went, it's how much? And I went, is there a cheaper way? And
yeah.
The woman looked at me and said, well, and I even have, you know, I have a business account with them and get that discount and whatever. And I said, no kidding. Three packages cost me $61 to mail. And I said, what? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's
so
up there.
And even, you know, the cost of stamps, you know, okay, which of my friends deserve a card, you know, and that, and I think that that's part of why. So the card is $5, you know, whatever you're spending on it, and then there's postage, and you times that by 10 or 20, that's, you know, that's like milk and bread and
you get them,
stuff.
You get them fancy Hallmark cards, you know, you get those shoebox cards, is what you need. But, you know, another interesting example of expectations. I never grew up getting, or I don't, aside from in my professional capacity, I have never sent a Christmas card in my life, nor have I ever thought to. I mean, I guess it seems more like a thing you do for clients just to kind of connect that way. And I've gotten Christmas cards from clients. No, actually, that's not true. I was going to say I've never gotten a Christmas card from a friend or family member that's outside of work. That's not true. A couple of years ago after one of my best friends moved away, he, his wife, and his daughter sent me a Christmas card. So I correct myself. And that was nice. But I don't expect it. And so when it comes, it's, hey, that's awesome. But when it doesn't come, you know. And now that I know that, Dr. Vicky, you send out Christmas cards, I'll be, you know, very much looking forward to yours.
No, I actually don't. Michael.
Oh, come on.
I had some packages I had to send out, but it's...
got my hopes up and everything.
You know what I do instead? I do random things throughout the year with people, and a few people that do it for me also. In fact, I got a gift in the mail, about a month ago, and I got it right in front of me, and it's a rather vulgar little calendar thing. For 2024, with all these little, you know, actually, you know, funny. I think they're funny. She knows me. They think they're funny. All these sayings on every day through this calendar. And I was just thinking of you, had to send it. And that, to me, is more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Than feeling the pressure of, you know, a holiday season. So I make peace with that in myself where I don't send people stuff at Christmas unless, you know, in fact, okay, I'll just tell you, the packages I sent out are actually people who bought some of my artwork and I had to send it. So,
okay.
You know, and so it wasn't like I was, well, one was a present to a good friend. Okay, too many details, Michael, way too off the topic. But I try to make up for it throughout the year because I'll think about somebody and I'll pick it up for them.
You know? Yeah.
And hey, I was thinking about you. I just thought I'd send this off to you.
You know.
And hey, you know, I was, matter of fact, a friend of mine, you know, she didn't ask for this, but I made her a pair of mittens. you know, out of leather and fur. And it's just, that's your gift.
I completely agree, because some of the most meaningful, emotionally, gifts that I've gotten were just little things, little knickknacks that weren't tied to an event. They were just like, here, you know, saw this, maybe think of you, here you go. And I think when you're a kid, you know, young people are just awful. They're the worst. So you're always focused on, I wanted an Xbox, you know, that kind of thing. And it's not the thought that counts. But once you grow up, you're like, man, it really is the thought that counts, because what you treasure is the emotional bonds. And those mean more than anything else.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, when you're going through holidays, and if you are feeling a little bit of isolation or that sadness, if you can catch it before it gets the betterment of you, mm-hmm. you know, it's just change perspective. Or, you know what, get up, get in your car, or get up, take a bus, go for a drive or a ride around town, you know, change the energy, just change mm-hmm. up that shift. But it's got to be active, you know, something in my mind it does. So it's just a suggestion. Sometimes if you feel really bummed out, go have a nap.
Yeah. You know? Or remind yourself that Bob Newhart is still alive.
Exactly. You know? You can watch some of his old shows when he tells you to stop it.
That's right.
Other is, and I think we're going to talk about this a little bit with you know, when there's tension in families or tension in situations, we want to address that a little bit before we move on and get going to choose some cards for people tonight, Michael.
Yeah.
But, you know, as Dr. Kelly would say, principle versus preference. And keep mm-hmm. the 9 principles and some of the lessons you've learned. You have an advantage here. Some of the lessons that you've learned throughout the, you know, the IMHS and TFU programs is just, do you really need to say it? You know, what good will come of that if you say it? Or some people are quirky, never mind. And if it's a situation you feel like, oh, I don't think I should go there, then don't go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they'll be mad at me if I don't go. Well, that's their issue, not your issue, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And I think it's important to, self-care is very important. A lot of times mm-hmm. it gets down, you know, denigrated, but it is important. I think it's important to also maintain, you know, bonds and friendships and things like that. So I think it's a balance too, right? If you never... It depends on your family members, can be toxic and awful, and you might not want to associate with them. But the family of our choosing, you know, the people that we become close with in life, I have gotten to points in my life where I start shutting everything out. It's kind of like a coping mechanism where I just isolate. And that only makes things worse, too. But,
you know, I spoke with a friend of mine this morning, in fact, who just lost her husband 5 months ago. And she was saying the biggest thing she's learned in the last few months is what a support network she has in her life that she didn't know. And how it just kind of woke her up when it came to friendships and relationships. And she said, you know, for all that I've been through, she says, the worst possible thing in my life that could happen, but I'm just surrounded with love.
That's really nice. I like that.
And, you know, we, again, I have to even give myself reality checks, Michael, just like you do. You know, it's like, I got it good. I'm good. Would I like the lottery? Yes, please. would more money make things better? Yes. Would being 20 years younger make a difference? Oh, probably, you know. But it is what it is. And you're making the best of a situation. And so when you are around family members or other people, when it kind of feeling irritated, just remove yourself for a minute, take a break. I always say, push the pause button and know that everything is temporary. It's all temporary.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in life that's.
Absolutely true. My grandfather always was fond of the saying, this too shall pass. And very true.
You know, I don't know. They all came from that generation. My grandmother always said the same thing.
Well, you had the Great Depression, World War II, stoicism, stiff upper lip.
exactly.
Besides, you guys are basically British over there anyway.
My dad's family thought they were British until I learned that they're all Vikings.
Well, I mean, but Vikings are still Germanic, you know, Norse Germanic peoples. They're all the same with different names. Oh, we're Anglo-Saxon. Oh, we're Danes. Oh, we're Norse. Oh, we all worship Odin or Woden. It's all the same thing. but I like, so, you know, instead of shopping for my family this year, I'm going to keep it easy and more stress-free on myself. I've been accumulating various animals. So I think this year everybody's getting a dog or a cat. So everybody's getting one.
You might get disowned.
Well, at least it's a noisy one right here. I say that now, but it never happened.
I think that it might be a little pandemonium if you did that. It's funny. And only because your parents already have a slew of their own critters.
Oh, they do. They do. So, but
yeah,
I'll tell you. You know, well,
again, everybody, it's just something that even this topic of emotions throughout the holiday, have a conversation with your friends about it. You know, even the light in a lighthearted way, like we have been, it's all very real. But it'll be you'll be amazed at what people will reveal about themselves when you talk about, you know, seasonal sadness or that melancholy. And so that's my challenge to you: is even in your small circles or throughout conversations, you know, just kind of address the topic, and people will share, and you'll know who then to give more attention to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, in addition to some of the facts that your expectations that you build can cause some negative feelings, some depression if they don't come to life, it's also a just very, you know, dark time of year in the literal sense. The days are shorter. It gets colder. Yeah. You know, it's just that time of year, which I think is probably why we kind of developed a lot of different traditions to get together and to celebrate things in the darkest time of year, because we need to keep each other happy. So if anything, just like, you know, like you were saying earlier, Dr. Mickey, don't feel obligated for things, but also embrace the fun of it. Enjoy it for what it is. Us finding excuses to get together and celebrate one another.
You know, I'm going to tell you, folks, when I took Christmas out of our family program and put a Yuletide in, I didn't have a problem. Other people had a problem. I didn't have a problem. And I figured that's their problem. And even as, of course, having kids, we'd have Yuletide, and they go to Dad's for Christmas. So they've kind of got, you know, two celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
But as they one by one left home, and I'm keeping the Yuletide, other people say, well, aren't you going to have Christmas? I said, I don't do Christmas. Oh, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just be you. And I honestly didn't feel pressure from people, because I was so certain about who I wanted to evolve to become more of, in honoring the old ways and living those old ways, that I thought, you guys do you, I'm doing me. But when you are unconventional, when you do set yourself apart, it can feel, and I appreciate this, it can feel disconcerting for a moment, like people are pointing the finger at you,
mm-hmm.
and you just can't care about it, because it's their issue, not your issue.
So mm-hmm.
I just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, you know, good addition.
Dr. Mike says, bah, humbug.
I'm going to admit to only very recently, maybe like last year, realizing that humbug wasn't just a fun, you know, folksy way of saying, you know, I'm unhappy. Humbug actually meant like, that's untrue. You know, he was saying, bah, that's not true, what the ghost was saying. And was it the Christmas Carol or no, hold on. I don't know Christmassy stuff.
Scrooge.
Well, yeah, but what's the book called?
Scrooge.
Is it? No, it's not called Scrooge. The character Scrooge. Well,
if I can say, think about it, Michael, because Ed was saying, do pantheists have or celebrate holidays? Absolutely.
Yeah, why not?
Everything from full moons to solstices, equinox. Tabitha says Christmas Carol.
Thank you. Christmas story. Yeah, it's Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, I think, right? But
actually, Yuletide is a very big thing for us. There's
really?
I have lots of traditional things, and I'll talk about it as we get closer to Yuletide and give you little hints of things that we do. Now that my grandkids are older, my daughter, because I stay out of how they raise their kids, but she's asked that we become more diligent, and I can impose, Michael. I've been given permission to impose
the
ceremonies, and I'm excited.
So, you should be.
I am.
Hey, I always get excited whenever I can impose my will on people, so, you know. But
it's fun.
But, you know, celebrate things for what they are. You know, we're metaphysical humanists. We're, you know, metaphysicians. But there is no good reason not to celebrate life and not to celebrate the bonds that tie us.
Exactly.
So, I mean.
And, hey, if you want to celebrate Christmas because it's convenient on that day, knock yourself out.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
again, that's your deal.
Another fun little thing from my weird life. Never once in my life have I looked at Christmas as a Christian holiday. In fact, it's always been a pagan holiday to me. I was taught from birth that was not Christian. That is pagan. That is based on Germanic lore, and it totally is. And of course, Saturnalia.
Yeah.
But so to me, I mean, the first time I celebrated Christmas, it was absolutely as not a Christian, so it was never had that kind of connotation.
But actually, you're absolutely true, Michael. They just switched up the days.
Oh, well, there's a lot of things.
Christians shifted up the days, that's all.
Well,
it's
kind
of a deal.
Yeah, well, they're a duplicitous bunch, aren't they? No, I digress. If you actually delve into the history of it, it's very complicated and nuanced how they all, you know, all the stuff comes together, and it's, you know, often done sometimes with malice, sometimes with, you know, good intent, and da 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 da. But I digress, you know, as the year has gone by so fast, the night has gone by so fast.
And, you know, Dr. Kevin, I appreciate what you said about your cards pulled last week and got a little reassurance and that your Thanksgiving celebration went really well with your daughter. We're really pleased to hear that. And he said that, you know, he wonders why he had so much apprehension. It's because it's new. You know, someone is coming back into the fold and you know, all those fears that you have start, that anxiousness, and that's pretty normal. But really glad you had fun and it all worked out
very nice.
So let's pull a card for a couple of cards here for Kevin, shall we?
Absolutely. So, getting us started, Dr. Kevin, for you, first off, I have number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Well, I love it that the Two of Clubs showed up here for you in support of that, Kevin. And that's seeing into your future. It's like, what do you see in the world for you? And feeling empowered to move forward in that. And I think because your life has shifted and changed so much this year, you're feeling, oh, Wendy said you had that card empowerment June 13th. So it's a repeat for you. But that Two of Clubs is now moving forward with more confidence, really, and that self-certainty. And, you know, I think what I'm sensing is maybe your heart's fuller. And the heart is full. Amazing what you can do with that. Good for you.
All right, I think we have Dr. Tabitha next.
We do.
Let's see. You get tonight, wild card number 8, freedom. Let's see. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Well, you know, weirdly enough, Tabitha, I pulled the Page of Swords and I thought, ooh, what's that about? You know, because that would be, the pages are communicators, right? And there could be a little bit of tension there with being a spade. And so I said, no, I got to pull another card and see what this is about, which is the Knight of Pentacles. So that Jack of Diamonds, it's just saying that there's again, along with the freedom. So we have to put those together to tell the story. And you might not be feeling that sense of freedom at the moment. And there might be a little bit of tension when it comes to finance or how you're going to manage that and getting on the same page with somebody else. So whether that's, you know, somebody you're dealing with in finances or your partner or something is, but really it's saying getting on the same page. And you'll start to feel better about that. So, because freedom goes both ways, right? I mean, there's positive and negative. It's, of course, I love the freedom card. But sometimes we don't feel free, you know? And there's that, we don't feel like we have that flexibility or the doability, you know, what we want to have. So, but I think this is a good message. It's just kind of get on the same page and resolve that and... and take a breath again. I want to get back to, you know, like principle versus preference, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that a couple of really great points, you know. I think freedom is absolutely a state of mind also. You know, people can perceive themselves to be free and not, and vice versa, but... And it's about prioritizing what's important too, huh?
Yeah.
But, all right.
So we have Jerry next. So let's moving on.
We have Dr. Jerry next, and for you, I have number 22. Think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, I got judgment in support of that. Now, Jerry, we know that you're going through some challenges right now, but this is actually a good kind of empowering message for you of knowing your own body, knowing your own mind, and declaring that. So that judgment is declaration, right? It's an announcement of some kind, like in the shortened version of it. And if your intuition says go one way or another, make sure it's not emotional based, but that it's, you know, that intuitive and good sensibility based. So, Jerry, apparently you had Think for Yourself on July 19th, and Tabitha had the Freedom card back in April. Mm-hmm. So Wendy said, that's three in a row. Keep them rolling, Dr. Michael.
So, hey, I'm going to try.
And, there's some repeats here. You know, I think that I felt the energy shift in the last few days, and I wonder if there isn't some kind of a loop or a tie-in, you know, coming to that year's end and how – even at an unconscious level, we aren't doing a review of some sort.
Interesting to say that. I was also thinking, you know, we're coming up to the end of the year, so hopefully we're going to be able to twist our card keeper Wendy's arm and have her on towards the end of the year, or I think that, or beginning of next, I can't recall. But soon, so looking forward to that. All right.
Dr. Edward,
for you tonight, I have another wild card. It's wild card number 2 and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it. And by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Well, and then some. So I got two cards here also for you, Edward. The Six of Spades, and the Six of Swords, and the Two of Pentacles, which is the Two of Diamonds. Now, the and then some, sometimes we have to be really patient, and you know, we don't always like patience, but the older we get, the more we can roll with it. And that's kind of what this is saying here. The and then some, I think, doesn't have to do with doing better, doing good, doing more. It's the and then some is the perseverance. And it's more of an emotional, spiritual level of writing it out and maintaining a balance. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of like, you know, if you've had the flu, Michael, and like you're ready in your mind to get up and go, but your body's saying no. You got to wait it out and you got to get better first.
Oh, yeah,
and
all too well.
That kind of a thing that I'm feeling here is you know, give it a little more time and watch things kind of, you know, unfold. And because sometimes our higher self knows better than what our human self knows. So, and you say, well, why is this happening? Well, I don't know, but something's at work here. So at the end, then some there in this case, I think has to do with patience and perseverance.
And continuing the pattern, Dr. Edward had gotten that back in February.
Oh, there you go.
All right. And we have Audra next. The prodigal daughter returns. So happy to have you with us. We're doing things sequentially now. So for you, I have wild card number 3, blocks. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required. And remain open. So hope that makes sense. So good to see Audra, you know, in terms of the prodigal daughter. It took me up until I was like 30 before I realized prodigal meant like a black sheep that returned to the family. I'd always been using it wrong my whole life. But that's Vicky, what you got?
That's funny. Audra, blocks with the support energy of 4 of diamonds. So that 4 of pentacles, you know, very often people take it as the miserly card hanging on to. I also see it as in a way of hard-earned and protective, you know. And so if you feel, yeah, I think many of us can relate to this, you've worked really hard for what you have and you're trying to hang on to it. And sometimes we can hang on too tight because the energy wants to move. If you feel like you're not moving forward enough where there's things in the way, it just means sometimes we have to change our perspective. So I think there's something afoot here for you, Audra, in that, first of all, give yourself credit for how far you've come and, you know, and where you're at, because you've come a long way. And really, you're doing all right. Do you want more? Do you want better? Do you need a little more? Sure. But you have a little more patience in there, too, because things are set up, and this is what's coming to me intuitively, like things are set up for you to have a change, but it might not come until the early part of the new year. So, all right. I hope that makes sense. So we have...
I am now not muted. All right. So we have our card keeper herself, Wendy, up next. And for you, Wendy, I have number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
First of all, for those of you aren't friends with Wendy on Facebook or don't follow her on Facebook and Wendy's page, she put up some Thanksgiving dinner pictures that I thought, whew. This girl ought to be like an event planner for weddings and stuff. Amazing, amazing decor, table setting, even bows on the chairs. It was like crazy nice and astounding. So, Wendy, you live in a constant state of gratitude. We know you do, and you're always willing to share. But it might be an element here. We've got the 9 of spades and... then along with that, the magician. So what I want to say here is there might be, you know, feeling like something's missing or something that, you know, just an element of sadness because of someone you miss or something you feel like you're missing. But the magician is the alchemist. And I feel like you're going to get a surprise somehow. So something like somebody's going to surprise you with something that's going to alleviate that sadness or that missing something. So that's a prediction. Gee, I hope I'm right on that one because it came out of nowhere. But be assured that there is some energy shifting at work here, and I think you're really going to like it.
So, right. There we go. And I think our last card of the evening is for Gemma.
All right, Gemma.
And thank you for sharing in chat. Really, I'd only been able to skim it briefly, but very interesting story. So those that listen to us in the archives, we appreciate you, but you're also missing out a bit on the live chat. So I encourage you to join us. All right, Gemma, for you, I have number 25, Power of Belief. Let's see. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs and see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction.
Well, I got the Page of Clubs for you, Gemma. Power of Belief, the Page of Clubs. It's about communicating what we feel we believe or think about, opinions, ideas. What I want to say to you, I'm inclined to want to say, the first time I felt okay with saying I don't know was a big relief. You know, and when asked my opinion of something, I said, well, I don't know. I have theories. Well, Vicky, you know everything. No, I don't. It's just a theory. And, you know, I feel, rather than saying, well, I absolutely believe this and being dogmatic about it, is having that open mind where it ebbs and tides and flows, and you allow your own evolution. See, if we get too stuck in our thinking, our mind isn't open to other things. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying that the message here is in being an open communicator and listening to others when they're communicating. So, you know, but also be you. You know, so it's just
nice.
I think a shift in communication there.
Good advice. All right. And
I think Zoran put his name in there. He said, if possible.
It is absolutely possible. And for you tonight, I have number 15, belief system and knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system. And sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of a belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
I got another communicator here, Michael. The Page of Cups. So the Page of Hearts. Belief systems and knowledge base. Queen of Hearts. Sometimes we're afraid to say how we really feel. And it's, and again, appropriately placed, of course. We have to use discretion when we talk about, you know, our beliefs often, because not everybody goes along with that. But it's also about feelings. And when you feel something for somebody, like, I got to tell you, at every end of conversation with my kids, I always say, I love you. Every conversation ends that way. And it's being open about that lovingness and sharing that. It's not just a goodbye and hang up. It's, you know, it flows. And what I want to say to you, Zoran, is learning, and that you are learning, to be more from your heart and sharing more from your heart. And that freedom you begin to feel, that not so much in the head, you know, living from the neck up, but incorporating emotion and that sense of self and feeling comfortable with sharing your feelings. And maybe you already are like that, you feel you are, but when it comes to more intimate things, what gets kind of really detailed in who you are, it's a comfort is growing. So that's just a little encouragement there. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know where it comes from, Michael.
Well, the uncanny thing is how often you get feedback that's saying it's spot on. Oof. So, I mean, I'm just saying you're a witch, but it's whatever. So.
And thanks for that. Wendy said that her, you know, she doesn't live near her family, and she does get a bit homesick at times.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And thanks for sharing that.
Very much so.
It didn't occur to me when I said it, so.
Well, thank you, everybody, for sharing. You know, it's just such a great part of our week to get together and to kind of try to engage and share ideas and help each other through difficult times and share tips, tricks, and ideas about how to make it through this wonderful cluster of experiences that we call life. So I am just very thankful. I am very appreciative. And Dr. Vicky, I guess it's that kind of that time of night.
You know, when you say thankful and appreciative, I think the other thing we all learn, because it maybe doesn't come natural for us in our societies, is to be truly happy for someone else for having something that you do not. And it's, and to think about that for a moment, you know, you might feel that there's certain voids in your own life. But when somebody else has some magic going on in their life and they're getting all that they love and want, and you say, part of you is saying, oh man, I wish I had that. It's still being genuinely happy for someone else and supporting what they have despite you not having that in yourself. And I think at a very young age in the sandbox, you know, no, you can't play with my toys. So you have that toy, I want that toy. And, you know, I think that kind of, we have to deprogram ourselves from that in a way.
Well, so, to a degree, if anybody does come visit me for the holidays, you're welcome. Nobody can play with my Obi-Wan Kenobi replica lightsaber but me. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Good one. So, well, you know. I feel good for other people when they're happy, and I feel good about myself when I'm happy. You know, I often say, if people trying to take my pain away, you're capable of taking away my joy too. So,
well said.
Just be supportive in all things that, you know, you're experiencing as well as others. So,
well said. And as we close out this evening, we now know, as Jim has said, that she loves Star Wars. So good people here. So, but no, thank you everybody for joining us. Dr. Vicky, I appreciate chatting with you both live on the broadcast, but I get to chat with you both before and after, and that's a delight of my week. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. And it is that time of night. I guess that we're going to have to say goodbye until next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.